Welcome to Threshold Church.
Tonight's going to be a little bit of a different night, a little bit of a different service. How many people were here? I think it was January 30th. It was the last Sunday in January. We did a Vision Sunday. Who was here for Vision Sunday? Raise your hands. So a lot of people, hopefully most of the people. So on that day, I explained some vision updates. I explained some of the process of where we've been over the last couple years, some of the vision God's been giving us, and some of the steps that are being taken. And if you remember, I said that February 20th, we're going to do a commissioning service that's happening. So that's going to be happening here tonight. So just to give a two-minute summary before I'm going to pass it on to some guests here tonight. In 2020, God made it clear. He gave us this vision, and there was two major parts of the vision. The first one was we're called to be an apostolic hub. The second one is we're called to have a local congregation. And so that apostolic hub, that's a house of prayer. That's a center for healing and deliverance. That's a place for equipping, a place for sending, birthing ministries. And that's a big part of the vision that's been growing and developing over the past couple years. Local congregation, that's pastoral care, that's life groups, that's community, that's family ministries, kids ministry, youth ministry. Two major parts of the vision. And I shared something on Vision Sunday about how the Lord made it really clear that there was a time for a shifting in roles that's happening. And my role and Jeremy's role, my role shifting into an apostolic role, Jeremy's role shifting into a pastoral role over the congregation. So we have those two areas. And so I made it really clear also, this does not mean I'm leaving Threshold, okay? I remember because I started talking and I think I could feel in the room a little bit of, wait, what's going on here? What is he saying? So I'm not leaving Threshold. My role is shifting, but tonight's going to be a special commissioning service. So before I move on, just want to acknowledge and welcome some special guests that are here tonight. First is Threshold's oversight team is here in the room. So could you guys stand up? Barry Whistler, Wayne Kaufman, and your wives, please. Wayne Kaufman, Kevin Escherman. So yeah, can we just honor them and thank them for the way they serve? So these are men and their wives who serve in the kingdom of God, and they're our oversight team. They help us. They walk with us. And just want to honor how they do that in such a way. They never try to control. They never try to, you know, just put their own control in how we do. They're there for support, accountability, encouragement. But they just release people to run with what God's given them. And so I just want to honor you guys and thank you for that. And me and Kevin meet once a month and we, you know, connect. And he's just been a great help and resource and mentor. So I also want to honor my parents are in the room. I'd like my mom and dad to stand up, please. This is my mom and dad. I'm not going to try to talk about them because it's going to get worse. I won't be able to talk. So, but my parents are here. Just yeah, so blessed that they could be here for the service. And then Jeremy Escherman. I think I saw his dad in the room too. I don't think his mom could make it, but Jeremy Escherman's dad's in the room as well. Craig, stand up, Craig. Stand up for a minute. Come on. Okay. So just want to honor people that are here as special guests. So I'm going to pass this on now to Kevin Escherman. Kevin's the pastor of Ephrata Community Church, which, by the way, Threshold planted out of. I think it was like 13 years ago this month. It was February 2009. So I believe that's when it was. So I'm going to pass it on to Kevin Escherman. He's going to come up and share a little bit, and then we're going to keep going from there. So thanks, Kevin.
Bless you, Jake. Truly is a privilege to be with you. Jake said that we try to lead without controlling. I thought, man, I was actually trying to control Jake. You just are one that will not be controlled by anybody. It's not me, it's you, actually. I'm just kidding. Now, we want to actually be a part of what God's doing and support you in that. And truly am honored to be here, to be part of that. Jeremy and I are not related as far as we know, but Jake says, I'm pretty sure you're related. All right? Just the way it is. Yeah, truly an honor. You know, we don't create what God is doing, and there's some very special acknowledgments that's going to be happening here this evening. Again, both not only for Jeremy and Jake and their families, but also for this congregation. And I want you to know that we don't make these things happen. We don't create these things. We actually acknowledge what God is doing. And we acknowledge what's happening. And so there's a place in which we come into agreement. And I think what's going to be happening here this evening is extremely significant, extremely important, because what you're deciding both as a leadership team, an elder team, and as really as an entire congregation is we are coming into alignment with what God has called us to do. Like you're coming into an ever-increasing level of identity. Like you're just discovering, almost like a person grows up, you know, your children grow up and they're increasingly discovering who they are and they step into it. For you as a congregation, you're discovering who you are in the Lord, who we created you to be. And you're stepping into that. And today is a very, very critical and important and significant step in that as well. And so I'm just honored to be a part of it. And I would actually say as well, as a lead pastor from Effort of Community Church, we are honored to actually see you take this step as well. And so I bring greetings from Effort of Community Church to you and just bless you in what you're doing. It was 2009. I was thinking about that in actually preparation for this evening when Corey Martin and Jeff Nolt, if you remember back in the day, you know, you're old enough now that you can say back in the day. So if you remember those guys from back in the day, that they spent some time with us, about 9 months, kind of within the staff team at Effort of Community Church. Then he took a bunch of people from ECC and went. So, no, that's actually good. I'm just kidding, of course, of all that. And it's been quite a journey from, like, all the places that you've met. Last time I was with you, you were meeting at Penn Manor High School in the cafeteria. Of course, that was pre-COVID, and there's all kinds of obstacles. And so even thinking about that, you know, I acknowledge, as well as we acknowledge the very significant time that is here together with us today, I would also acknowledge the challenges that you've had in that process. You know, it's not been easy. I mean, life with the Lord is always good, but it's not always easy. And he gives you strength to press through. And as there's been transitions and you wonder, you know, where's the place for us? And God just made a way and you pressed through all that. And I just want to honor you in doing that. And Jake and the leadership team, in the way that you've pressed through that, you have done that well. And I've desired this evening just to communicate the significance of what I think is happening here tonight. I'm going to go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. I'm going to read verse 16, 17, and 18. And then I just have a few things I want to point out from this passage. Malachi 3, beginning verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another, and the Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I take up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more, you shall see a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. And I feel that's that kind of like, if you just do an overview of the book of Malachi, Old Testament prophetic ministers, what they were doing is they were reminding the people of God of his covenant. And they constantly called people back and, you know, come and do what God has asked you to do. Come and return. And they were covenant enforcers. And in this particular case, over the book of Malachi, God is speaking through his prophetic ministers. And he's saying, come back, you know, come back to what is true and right and step back into your identity. And they refused him, but not all of them refused. And so there was a group of people that pulled together and they talked together. They feared the Lord. They talked together. And the Lord overheard their conversation, wrote it in a book, and said, those folks are mine. And I think that's actually what's happening today. You're being marked. And so you're going to see a distinction. And you're going to see a distinction between you as a local congregation and what may be considered a normal congregation. Like there's going to be an apostolic calling resting upon you simply because of the conversation that you've been having and the way you've been working that through together as a leadership team, Jake and the team bringing it to the congregation, you saying yes to the identity that God's placed upon you. And I want to point a few things out here in this passage. First of all, it says those who fear the Lord. What does it actually mean to fear the Lord? And I don't know that I can define what that is because generally you use the word fear for things that you're afraid of. But yet God calls us to come close and draw near to him. Well, why would you draw near to someone or something that you're actually afraid of? And I'm going to try to give a little bit of an illustration that may help us with that. It's been in my adult life that I had gone to Niagara Falls. I'd never been there in my life. And we were actually on our way going someplace in Canada, and we thought, okay, we'll kind of stop by and see Niagara Falls. And so you see photographs of it, you might even see a film of that and so forth, and you see this massive amount of water going over falls, and you think, okay, well, it's a big hole in the ground with water going over. So I guess that's a pretty big deal. It looks pretty cool. So we drove up, we were heading to Canada, stopped in there, and we went to Niagara Falls. And I don't know exactly where we were, American side, Canadian side, but we came to this place where the river is rushing, like right before it goes over the falls. And you come to this place where you wouldn't even think it'd be legal, but you could almost walk up to the edge of the river. And it's almost like if this would be the edge of the river, you're talking about like maybe down there, like between here and the wall is where it actually goes over the wall. And you can be in this place and you see this mighty river rushing, and you know that you feel like if I slip right here, like it's all over. I'm going right over the falls. There's nothing. This thing's going to just drift away. And so you're standing there and you can feel like the rumble of the river in your feet because it's actually shaking the ground that you are on. And so there's this reverent awe that you stand, like you're almost fascinated by the significance of this water that's rushing by you and going over the edge, but you know that if you get too close, it's extremely dangerous. And I feel like that's what it means to fear the Lord. Like you're almost drawn to him out of fascination by the very person of who he is, and yet there's a certain amount of reverence that's associated with it to recognize that you can actually step in, like it could be very, very dangerous to do so. Several years ago, I think it was like 7 or 8 years ago, Stephanie and I had a nephew that was getting married in Colorado Springs. And so the whole family was out, our kids were out and so forth. And so my kids had the idea that why don't we go to the Grand Canyon and go camping after the wedding is over. So he got married on a Sunday and we packed up Monday morning, drove to the Grand Canyon. And again, it was one of those things like, okay, the Grand Canyon's a hole in the ground, a really, really big hole in the ground. And so again, you've seen pictures of it. You just see the majesty of it. And we arrived there. It was dark at nighttime. And so we went camping, set up and so forth. Next day came back to the camp, came back to the canyon at a lookout. And you come to this place again where you come close to the edge, like carefully when you're there. And I think it's 3 miles down. It's a 3 mile hole in the ground. And it stretches like as far as you can possibly see. And again, there's this place of like reverent awe. So even though you've seen it, there's almost no way that you can take it in or even for me to communicate the significance of what you see in that moment. So you recognize that. And the way I would say it, both like with the illustration of Niagara Falls and the Grand Canyon, it gives you perspective. And you feel small. So think about a time in your life when maybe you've seen something that was majestic and it just made you feel small. Now, not small like you're being put down. It just gives you perspective. Understand what I'm saying? Perspective. And so I think what's happening here, like you're fearing the Lord and it gives you perspective. It makes you understand that you're part of something that is so incredibly bigger than who you are. And it's not actually done in a way that puts you down like you're nothing. It actually calls you up. It actually calls you into your calling. It calls you into ultimately who you are. Those who fear the Lord spoke together. Do you ever think that God listens in on your conversations? He does. And I wonder about those elders meeting. I wonder about Jake and our meetings that we have together when Jake is saying, hey, this is kind of the direction we're going. What do you think about this? And I wonder, you know, I never really pictured the Holy Spirit sitting at the table as well, but he listens in. And we had a staff party recently at Effort of Community Church, and Stephanie, my wife, was in charge of games, which is always a very dangerous thing. And one of the games that she played was she collected different things from around our house and kind of put together very odd objects and put them in a bag and gave them to a team and said, okay, come up with a skit according to the things that you have in the bag. Probably some of you have played that game as well. And it's almost as though, like, God says, okay, I'm going to put things together at Threshold Church, and then I'm going to watch to see what they do with what I've given them. It's almost like, I don't know if God has fun doing that. I don't know. I think he probably does. I don't know if it's a little bit of an experiment, but, you know, you kind of picture him in heaven, like, talking to the angels, hey, come on over here, guys, watch this one right down here. They have all this stuff. I'm going to see if they can figure this out and see what they can come up with what I've given them to actually work with and create. I think God actually does look on. He listens to your conversations And I think he's listening in today. And the things that are said here today, the things that have been like part of the congregational meeting that was last month, those things are ultimately very significant. And then he says this, a book of remembrance was written before him. A book of remembrance was written. We write down everything. Post-it notes. How many have a computer that you put post-it notes on the monitor? Okay, confess up. Come on, let's do it. You know that computers were designed to actually put the notes inside the computer. That's what you can do. And it's kind of funny because computers have, some of them have, like you can put post-it notes on the desktop, like, you know, inside, whatever. But we write everything down. That was not the case here. Of course, this refers back to a time when they didn't have, when they had parchment. It was very expensive to write things down. And it was oftentimes done with royalty. In other words, when he says, let's write this down in the book, he's saying this is historic and this needs to be recorded. So they feared the Lord. They spoke together and this needs to be recorded. Write it down in a book of remembrance. And I believe that's the kind of night that you are having here this evening. Record this night. Record it in your mind. Record it in your heart. Record it as, because I think it's actually being recorded in heaven. He says, record this, which is being written down. And he simply says this, they shall be mine. And so it's almost as though he's put the ingredients together because God wants us to create with him. He wants us to discover who we are. He wants us to take these steps of faith. And so we are participating with him in the purposes of God. That's what he's been doing here. And so he found a place where people fear the Lord and they talk together and discern what's God doing among us. What's he calling us to? What steps of faith is he asking us to step into? And you've made those right choices to step into that place. And so, okay, it's back, sorry. It's almost like he said, okay, now write this in history. Write this moment as they feared the Lord. They talked together, they made decisions. And now mark this moment in history because this is a hinge point. And we honor what Threshold Church has been in the past, but what Threshold Church literally is going to be tomorrow is different than what it is today. Because there's an apostolic grace and anointing that is going to be passed to Jake. And actually, ultimately, we're acknowledging what is already there. But see, as part of this congregation and leading this congregation, it's not just for him, but it's actually, you are an apostolic congregation. Kingdom Resource Center, an apostolic resource center, however you want to title that, but it's the function that God's called you in. And so today, we're just simply acknowledging that. It's a point in history, and honestly, from today to tomorrow forward, it's going to be different for you. And there's going to be a distinction. And I want to close really even with this. So Exodus 33, man, is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And it's actually a defining passage of Scripture for me personally. And I'll tell you a little bit what's going on there. I'm going to paraphrase this. You can read it later. Just check to make sure I was doing okay. Exodus 33, if you go back a little bit further into Exodus 32, what you have is you have Moses up on the mountain receiving the law from the Lord. And meanwhile, the people down in the valley think that Moses has been gone too long. And so what they do is they go to Aaron and say, build us an idol. We don't know what's happened to this Moses guy. And so Aaron collects all the jewelry and he makes this golden calf, sets it up and says, this is the God that has brought you out of Egypt, which you think, what are you thinking? I don't know how that happens, but anyhow, that's exactly what happened. So Moses comes down and there's discipline that occurs because they've gone to worship an idol instead of worshiping the true and living God. And then God comes to Moses and they're having a conversation. And I'm paraphrasing both of them. God speaks to Moses and he says something like this. He says, I can't go with you anymore because you're a stiff-necked people. By the way, do you know what it means to be stiff-necked? What it means to be stiff-necked is back in that time, it was very common, of course, to use yoke of oxen to pull a plow or to, you know, pull a wagon or something like that. And I don't know how many of you ever worked with livestock. That's my first career, you know, horses and cows and so forth. And especially a horse, because they're a little bit bigger. If a horse doesn't want to be bridled, like when you get a bridle on a horse, it makes all the difference. And so you have to get that bit up in their mouth and the bridle up over their head. And I remember working with horses, and what they would do is they would just stiffen their neck up. Like it would throw their head up in the air so you couldn't get the bit in and you couldn't get the bridle over their head. It used to make me so mad. That's what it means to be stiff-necked, like stiffen your neck, like a refusal to be to yield, to be yoked, a refusal to be led, to submit yourself in that way. And he says, you're stiff-necked people, and I don't know how that's going to go. Like, I may go on the way to the promised land, and you're going to do something else that's just absolute rebellion, and in my anger, I may kill you, and so therefore, I'm not going to go with you. Now, here's the deal. I made you a promise that I would give you this land, land flowing with milk and honey. I'll give you, and you will have all of it. You'll have the vineyards, you'll have the houses that someone else built. Like, you will have the wealth of the land, I will promise you. And I will even in the process give you supernatural experiences, because an angel will go before you and an angel will lead you all along the way. So in other words, you're going to have everything I've ever promised you. Everything you need. You'll have everything I have ever promised you. You just won't have me. And God says, I can't go because I may kill you along the way. So what the deal is laid before Moses is all the things that God has promised him, plus safety, all that's comfort, like everything, minus one thing, the presence of God. The other side of the deal is that you're going to have the presence of God, but you're actually, in Moses' case in Exodus 33, you will risk your life to get the presence of God. So God says, I'll make you this deal. I'll give you everything I promised. You just won't have me. And Moses says, no deal. Do not send us from this place unless you go with us. For what will distinguish us from all the people of the earth, unless your presence is with us? Here in Malachi chapter 3, those who feared the Lord spoke together. They had a conversation. They talked about what he was doing amidst them. They yielded themselves to him. The Lord's listening to the conversation. He's listening to you recognizing the gifting and calling that's upon you. You acknowledge that. He says, this is history. Write it down. These people are distinguished. You're marked. You're set apart for the purposes of God. And that's what God is doing here this evening. Jake?
So before we continue, we're going to show a video in a minute. I shared during the Vision Sunday how one of the significant voices throughout this process was Jeremiah Johnson. Jeremiah came in December. He was here December 12th. He met with our leadership team on the 11th. And actually, his prophetic words are a major reason why we are here tonight. Because although it was something that we had been processing and praying about and discerning for actually a couple years, when he came, he released the prophetic word about what's about to happen right now. And so I had reached out to him. He had offered to come and be part of this service, but he didn't know what day it was going to be. And then once I told him the day, he's preaching somewhere else today. So he's actually sent in a video, just a couple-minute video. And so he just wants to speak into tonight just for 2 minutes.
Hey, Threshold Church, Jeremiah Johnson here. So honored to have played such a small part in God's eternal story that is unfolding before your very eyes. Tonight is commissioning night for Jake and Anna, their family. God is leading them forward. I just want to say how proud I am in my heart that you guys are stewarding the word of the Lord. You're taking seriously what God is speaking through his servants, through the Holy Spirit. I'm just excited about what God has for all of you in the future. The vision that the Lord gave me for you all at this apostolic commissioning service is really that of a baton. You know, if you think about runners in a race, all of them have to start out running. And as the baton is handed off, the other is already running. It's not really a stop and a go. And I just really want to prophesy to you. I want to encourage you that even as Jake is running into the call that God has for him, so you too are also running into the call that God has for you. This is not a stop and then a go. This is a continual flow of what the Holy Spirit is doing. So just want to empower you to run the race that God has called you to as Threshold Church. Jake and Anna, I want to encourage you, run the race. Jesus really is the prize. Chase after him with all your might. He is worthy of all our honor, all our affection, and all of our lives. God bless you all. I miss you, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, so I want to invite Barry Whistler to come forward. Barry, if you don't know Barry, yeah, you can clap your hands for Barry. Barry was the founder of ECC and also of HarvestNet, an apostolic network. It's international churches and ministries around the world. So he's going to be leading this commissioning time.
Amen. Great. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. This is a pretty exciting moment, not only for Jake and Anna and Jeremy, but for the whole church. And actually, we get to participate in the commissioning. Like Kevin said, we don't make things happen, but we can see what God's doing, and we can put our amen to it. But I think this is, when I was sitting here during the worship, I feel like this is an Acts 13-type moment for this church and for these two men. Where, you know the story in Acts 13, the Holy Spirit spoke, there were prophets and teachers praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke and said, set apart these two guys for the work that I've called them to do. And, of course, they prayed and fasted, and then they laid their hands on them and set them apart. And that's really what's happening. There's been prophets involved in this. There were discussions. I like the text that Kevin chose. And there's discernment. And now tonight's the night it becomes official. So God's already started this. We've seen this happening for a couple years. But I do believe there's something about the laying on of hands that can escalate what's happening and can bless. And I think it's significant that we're doing it. And you're going to move into a new, like Antioch did, into a multiplication phase, a new phase of influence and sowing and fruitfulness. I really believe that. So I know that Jake's asked a few of you to help pray. You want to do it here, maybe up top, down here. Let's do that. But if Jake's asked you to help pray, come on up, and we just want to lay hands on them and pray for them and commission them. This is just extra stuff, but in worship, I felt like you're like a Gideon that has pulled down idols at night sometimes, that you pulled them down. And I also felt I saw, I would call it a gusher, like a 3-4 foot high from the deep coming up, tall enough and big enough to drink and to get wet. But I believe the potential is for it to be a geyser. And I was sitting there thinking, I hope, and I'm going to pray for this, that God gives you the outpouring that's the desires of your heart, because I believe it would benefit all of us in the region. And I believe God's going to pour his Holy Spirit out on a lot of churches. But I felt such a hunger here tonight and a desperation for that, and God sees that. So I'm going to just lead out in praying, and then if others have, you want to come up, Kevin? Yeah. I motioned for him to earlier. He didn't pay attention to what I said. Okay, I'm going to start out, and any of you want the mic can have it. Father, I just thank you for Jake and for Anna. Thank you for their call here. Thank you for the fruit that they've already borne in ministry. But it's time for a new phase. It's time, and we recognize that. And tonight, by the laying on of our hands, Jake and Anna, we commission you to the apostolic ministry, and we release you. We recognize what God is doing in this congregation, and particularly in your life. The fruit is there already. It's obvious. But by the laying on of hands, we send you, we release you and send you with blessing of this house and blessing of your overseers to do this work that God's called you to do. Jesus commissioned people to heal the sick, announce the kingdom, and cast out demons, and you've been doing that. This is a kingdom commission that you have, that from the throne room, you've been commissioned to go do this, and we bless that. We say amen to it. I pray, God, for an increase of grace. I ask you for increase of influence, but I pray for all the gifts that they need. I also pray that you protect them, I pray that you protect them, actually hide them from their enemies, because they're there. We know that. But you're so much more powerful. So hide them. Give them a Psalms 91 covering and protection, and hide them from their enemies. And we just commission them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask you for the gusher to turn to a geyser. I ask you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would benefit the region. I ask you for signs and wonders and healing and deliverance for all, God. Let this be a place of great grace, gushing up from the deep, we pray in Jesus' name.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we just bless this time as a defining moment in their lives, God, in Jesus' name. We recognize the work that you've already been doing, and we just lay hands and we stir that up. We call that up, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for the multiplication factor that's happening in this moment, that Jake and Anna, as well as this congregation, the entire team becomes the umbrella, becomes that tree that actually allows lots of more, like more ministries to birth, more ministries to grow up and mature. And we just pray for increase, a multiplication of fruitfulness among them, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that you're opening up new territories for them. And strength to run the race that's marked before them, a multiplication to go further, faster, God, in Jesus' name. We just recognize the work that you're doing, what you've placed in them, and we call that out in Jesus' name. Amen. Yep.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for Jake and his beautiful family. Lord, I just pray your wisdom upon him, Lord. Give him discernment. You know his heart is pure, Lord, and true to you. We just lift him to you, Father. Protect him and be with him, Lord. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you that it is time and that your son and your daughter have arrived at this place right at the right time, the ordained moment of time. Jake, I see waters dividing in front of you. I see obstacles just falling to the ground. I see you coming into full stride, in full stride, for you've been a follower of Christ, and Christ says, because you followed me, I'm about to lead you to new places, and I will use you to break the yokes that hold my people back. I will use you to teach the truth of my word, and I will cause my fire to be in your mouth, for I say to you, sir, I have raised you up to be a revivalist. I've raised you up to bring forth that which is coming, for the time is short, and I am sending you both in power and in might, for signs and wonders will follow. Signs and wonders will be a residue of the witness that Christ has been where you have gone. For I am the Lord your God. It is me you've sought, and it is me you will have. For I ask for new revelation. The Lord says, I will give you new revelation in these last days. You're both of you are in a time of reproduction of spiritual children. There's an anointing, Jake, to birth people on both of you into the kingdom. There's an evangelistic anointing that's coming upon you to birth people into the kingdom. For I shall not have my son just preaching in the churches that were built for my name, but I'm going to open doors that he might preach in the churches that were built for other false gods' name. And I will send you forth, son, and you will plunder them and release those who are captive and bring them into the fold. My anointing is upon your lips. My anointing is upon your feet. My anointing. Thank you, Father. As we were sitting there, there was a ladder that began to extend from heaven to come down, and it just rested, and it was resting right where you're standing right now. And I believe you're going to see remarkable signs and wonders in the congregation in front of you. There's holy visitations that are going to occur, manifestations of angels that are going to begin to occur. You'll hear the angels worshiping before you even pluck a note and sing a word. He's saying it's time. It's not just time, Jake. Powerful move of healing, daughter. Powerful move of healing. Powerful move.
We're going to go swimming, buddy.
Amen. Well, I'm not going to preach long, don't worry. I'm just going to share for a couple minutes, and then we're also going to do a commissioning and ordination for Jeremy as he steps into the lead pastor congregation role. Need a second to kind of recover a little bit. So I want to read from Ephesians chapter 2. It's actually about a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, one of our prayer meetings. I can't remember if it was a Monday night or a Wednesday morning. The Holy Spirit highlighted Ephesians 2:20. It was actually Kate Newcomer. The Holy Spirit spoke that scripture to her. We prayed into it. And then when we started moving into this idea of having this commissioning service, one morning I thought, I wonder if 2:20 is on a Sunday. And sure enough, here we are, February 20th. Ephesians chapter 2:19, it says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." And I believe there's just a couple quick points I want to bring out of this that's speaking to us as Threshold Church and as this new season that we've now stepped into. The first thing I want to mention is in that verse 20, he says, built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Now, there's different debates on what exactly does that mean. I was looking into different commentaries. You know, what does it mean that built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets? Does that mean that it's talking about they themselves, or they are the ones that are laying the foundation? There's actually different theories on that. However, what we can get from this is that apostles and prophets are foundational. Apostles and prophets deal with foundations in the church. And how many know if you don't have a good foundation, you can't have a good building? If you don't have a good foundation, if you don't have a right foundation, if you don't have the rootedness and the groundedness, then anything you build on top of that is going to be off. It's going to be an error. It's going to eventually cause a problem. And so apostles and prophets are foundational. We've talked before about how we do believe in Ephesians 4:11, fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And as I've said many times, those are not about titles. Those are about functions. Those are about job descriptions. Those are roles. Those are serving. Those are, they're not about titles, as we've said before. Their functions, and they're a job description. And as I thought about this verse, I thought about the fact that a foundation is the lowest point in the building, and it's the thing that carries the most weight. It's the lowest point in the building, and it's the thing that carries the most weight. And so when it talks about apostles and prophets being foundational, this is not a status. This is not a badge of honor that you use to get people to treat you a certain way or an entitlement. It's actually a sacrifice. It's interesting to me that the Apostle Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians, both referred to apostles as being first and also as being last. In the same letter, in chapter 4, he said, God has displayed the apostles last of all. Talking about the suffering, talking about what they go through, talking about, and then later in chapter 14, he says, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Why? What did Jesus say? The last shall be first, the first shall be last. This is not about a title. This is not even about me as a person. This is about God. This is about Jesus and about what he's doing and what he wants to continue to do. And that leads me to that second point where it said, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Everything
points to Jesus. If it's not about Jesus, it's not apostolic. No matter what words you use, no matter what language you say, no matter what phrases you use of contemporary church culture, if it's not about Jesus, if it's not built for him, about him, from him, to be apostolic means to be sent by Jesus himself to represent him to the world. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 3, he's called the foundation himself. So everything points to Jesus. Everything's for him. And then this last point I want to make in verse 21, in whom the whole building, guess who that's talking about? Everyone in this room, everyone who calls Threshold Church home, we're living stones. We're being built together as a building. The whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. It's one of the reasons why we so emphasize prayer is because we're called to be the house of God, the dwelling place of God on the earth, that Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. That's one of the reasons why we emphasize that so much, because we are being fitted together. Think about it. God says, I want to dwell among a people. Yes, he dwells in individual believers. His Holy Spirit lives inside of us as individuals, but God also works corporately in community and in groups, and he wants to establish a dwelling place of God in this very region, in Lancaster County, in Lancaster City, that the house of God, which is also the gate of heaven. That's the ladder that Wayne saw in a vision. It's the house of God is also a gate of heaven. It's the place where heaven invades earth. It's the place where God's presence is manifest on the earth. It's the place where God's glory is revealed among a people. But that involves everybody. That involves not just a leader, not just a leadership team, not just a pastor, not just a group of leaders. That involves the whole house being fitted together, being joined together. And I've had this sense ever since when Jeremiah Johnson came on December 12th, I've had this great sense that as God is releasing myself, me to shift into this calling that's been many years in process, as God is releasing and bringing alignment and bringing order and bringing repositioning, it's also going to release the entire body into their functions, into their callings in a much greater way. And we've already began to see that at an incredible way of different people being positioned and released and commissioned in new callings. And so as we take this step today, it's about Jesus. It's about what Jesus is building. It's about his house. It's about his glory. It's about his purposes in this region and beyond. How many can say amen to that? Anybody can say amen to that? And so one of the first things I get to do in this new role is to commission and ordain Jeremy Eshelman. Can we appreciate Jeremy Eshelman? Jeremy, would you make your way up here? Rachel, come on up here. I've had the privilege of getting to walk with Jeremy and Rachel for several years, Jeremy first, and I remember the first time I met Rachel. It was at Coffee Company, I believe, and I was hanging out with Jeremy, and she was visiting. I think they were long-distance dating. I'd heard about this new friend of Jeremy's, and in comes Rachel, just bobbing in with a big smile on her face, and just, I'm like, I like this girl. She's amazing, and this is such an amazing couple, and I've just had the privilege of getting to walk closely with Jeremy. I got to be careful. I'm going to start losing it up here. I was thinking about this time of ordination, just thinking about Jeremy and just such a man of character, integrity,
loyalty, just willingness to serve, willingness to do anything that God wants him to do, and to serve in the church and just do anything, big, small. He doesn't need to be seen. He doesn't want to be seen. This is probably a stretch for him, right? Being up here more often, preaching more, but it's good. It's a good stretch. This is a man that I trust with my life. And if I was going to be in the trenches, this is the man I'd want to be with. So we're going to ordain Jeremy. Get over here. I better stop. Come on, Rachel. I want everybody, Craig, I want you to come up too. I want everybody that was part of my commissioning as well to come up. We're going to just, this is a commissioning. This is also an ordination. We're actually ordaining Jeremy as a pastor. And we just want to bless the calling on his life, the faithfulness that he has shown to the Lord and to his church, to his people. So, Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the laying on of hands, Lord, I declare a commissioning and ordination over Jeremy, Lord, into the role of pastor. God, as he steps into this role as of leading this congregation, I declare the grace of God to rest upon him and everything that's needed for this role, God. Every amount of wisdom, every amount of anointing, every amount of discernment, God, that you would rest upon him. God, that you'd fill his heart. You'd enlarge his heart. You'd enlarge his heart. I thank you for an enlargement of his heart right now, God. I thank you for the shepherding heart, God, that you are enlarging in him even right now. God, I thank you for the shepherd staff that he carries, God, of authority, of protection. God, I thank you for one, Lord, who loves the sheep, who lays down his life for the sheep, God. I thank you for one who defends the sheep, Lord, and who fends off the wolves, God. And so I bless him, Lord. We declare a commissioning, an anointing, an ordination over Jeremy, God, as he steps into this place, Father, in the name of Jesus, through the laying on of hands, release an impartation of your Holy Spirit's power and grace. You are the one, Jesus, that sets people in your church. And so we acknowledge how you have set him in this role, Lord. We bless what you're doing, Father. Thank you, Father. Anyone else that wants to share anything or pray anything?
Jeremy, as Jake's already said, I think one of the most striking things to me about you is your heart and the heart of compassion and the heart for people that God's given you. I really believe it's the heart of Jesus for his church. I know you love the lost, you love the nations, but I think any time you're around people, you feel the heart of God for them. And God, we just bless the pastoral heart that Jeremy has. We bless these two as a couple and the work that you've called them to do together. Protect them, keep them. By the laying on of hands, we install them into the office of lead pastor here, and we ask you for all the corresponding graces and anointings that they need to do their work.
And Father, we just bless Jeremy with the anointing and grace to lead and shepherd. I know that Jeremy recognizes that he's actually an under-shepherd. He's going to lead like Jesus. He's going to shepherd like Jesus. I pray, Father, for supernatural discernment to know of anything that's going to harm the flock, to be able to guide the flock to green pastures where they are fed, for growth, for wholeness to be there. I pray, Father, for just protective insight around the congregation, that he would know anything that comes against the congregation. I pray, Father, he would seek the lost as a good shepherd does, go after those who have strayed, and bind up the wounded and care for all. And we just thank you, Father, for that already residing in him, and we just call that out this evening in Jesus' name, to shepherd like Jesus.
Father God, I thank you for my brother, and in the name of Jesus, I release prophetic anointing. And there's a discerning of spirits that's just growing in you dynamically right now. There's an anointing on your voice, a fresh anointing on your voice to call the sheep who have strayed, call the sheep who have wandered away, to call them back. Thank you, Father. I thank you for this couple in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I just thank you for the release of grace coming upon Jeremy and Rachel right now to step into this assignment. Yes, Lord, I thank you that what has been hard in the past will be marked by grace and ease. God, I thank you for an increase in wisdom and discernment that is well beyond their years and their experience. Father, I thank you that as you've called them, you will equip them. And Lord, I just pray for blessing upon them. Lord, I just bless them right now to be themselves. God, I just lift off any expectation that they have or that anyone else has for them, and I release them to step into this role as themselves. Jeremy and Rachel Eshelman, we don't want anybody else. We want you in the fullness of the gifting and the calling of the Lord on you with the uniqueness and the idiosyncrasies that you bring. We release you to be free to be yourself in this role. You are not to look like anybody else. And so, Lord, I bless them to just come into that place, God, unfettered by anything. Thank you, Lord. And Jeremy, I see your eyes like you're getting clarity. And I think it's the discernment gift, but it's just this razor sharp clarity. You're like seeing through things, like nothing gets past you. It's almost like literally like this laser or lightning eyes that you have. Your heart increasing in capacity. And then this master gift to know how to assemble things, to know what parts you need and how to assemble them without blueprints. It's like the Lord gives you the blueprints without you needing to find them. He just imparts them to you and you know exactly how to assemble something, what parts are needed, and what it looks like to bring it into completion. And I believe that speaks of the way you're gonna bring together the different members of the church, the different parts of the body, and fit them together so that we are fulfilling our assignment here as a local community.
So Father, we just bless Jeremy and we bless Rachel, and we declare your covering over them as a couple, as individuals, and a commissioning and ordination over Jeremy as he steps into this role. God, we thank you for their lives. We entrust them to you in this time to you, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can you get that? Jeremy, we got something for you. You can hang in your office. I don't know if you hang things in your office or not, but there you go. Look at that. Certificate of ordination. Come on. There you go. You want to share a few words, Jeremy?
Still figuring out what I want to say, but I've been at Thresh for a long time. It's a couple of my friends invited me shortly after college, so it's been, Vince, you're one of them. Been 11 years almost, something like that, and I was just sitting down with Peter. We were talking about they're expecting a baby in the next 2 weeks here, and I feel like Threshold has kind of been one of the things that I talk about with people when they're about to have a baby. I say every single season is better. Like it's like I can't stop saying like, oh, this season is the best. And then a couple months later, this season is the best. And then the kids get a little bit older and they grow up a little bit more. I was like, this season is the best. And I feel like I say similar things about Threshold where it's, I look back over the years and I said, this is my most excited I've been about Threshold. And I said this years ago, and I said this last year. I said, I think this is my most excited season, and it just keeps getting more and more exciting because of what the Lord is doing here. So I'm really excited for Threshold Church. I'm really excited for what's going on here and what's going to be happening. And I feel like just the word that was shared, just like it's maturity season. Like all the pieces have been here. When an owner of a vineyard, he plants his grapes, he knows that those grapes are going to be turned into wine eventually. So all the pieces have been there, the grapes, the soil, the right elevation, whatever makes a perfect wine, but you don't, it doesn't, it's not the best wine until you let it go through the process. You let it sit in that bottle on the shelf for who knows how many years. And I feel like this is really that season. There's been a full maturing that's taking a place, and we get to be a part of the next step of it. So that's all I have to say. So I'm really excited, and thank you guys so much for being a part of the journey with us. So,
for more information about Threshold Church, visit the website at threshold-church.com.